This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind Archives.
Welcome now to Alice Tully Hall at Lincoln Center in New York to hear an address by Dr. Raymond Charles Barker, the Sunday Morning Religious Science Service.
Good morning. And as you know, because we're broadcasting over seven stations, and some of them are this afternoon and evening, so we have to really say good all day rather than just good morning. Because at 3:30 they'll be listening to us in Boston. At 8 o'clock in Philadelphia, and at 10 o'clock tonight in Baltimore, and at 12 noon our time here, it'll be broadcast in San Francisco. So that's a mighty power for good. One of our great teachers years ago, Mr. Rawson, signed every letter that he ever wrote, and he wrote a great many, "Be happy, be loving, be free." And I thought we'd talk about this a minute or two before our opening treatment, because it fits in with my topic, which follows, a merry heart and a healthy body. Be happy, be loving, be free. You see, I think happiness has to be programmed as much as prosperity or good health or good relationships. I think it has to be programmed. It isn't just a matter of, well, I'm happy some of the time and the rest of the time I'm not happy. We should all be happy more of the time. We should all be loving more of the time. We should all have a sense of freedom more of the time. Every once in a while, the weight of the ages comes over me. Happened last Friday morning. After about the 13th telephone call, I just said to Miss Schneider, "Oh, no. I wish the ship was going out tomorrow. Because I'd be on it." Now, you know I wouldn't be. But an hour later, I was all right. I was free again. But the whole thing, for a moment, came upon me. And I'm sure it does you. We all have these moments. And that's when I remind myself, now, wait a minute. Let's go back to that slogan. Be happy, be loving, be free. And then it goes, and I'm all right again. All right, let's us now get rid of the weight of the world. Get rid of your own problems. Let's be still and know. There is but one mind, one spirit, one truth, and one intelligence. That it is right now in action, where we are, whether we're here in Alice Tully Hall or whether we're listening by radio. Where I am, it is. And it is perfect, complete, and sustained. It has no problems. The infinite rests in smiling repose, the poet said. So we release any and all bondage. We are free. We are at peace. We are well. We are strong. And the infinite mind is in each one of us. And the infinite love is in each one of us. And the infinite freedom is in each one of us. So we are happy. We are loving. we are free. So it is right. Earlier, just after our healing session at 10:45, I had the large group of people that were here at that sing the new song so that we wouldn't sound too weak over the radio when we sing it now. And it's to a grand old tune you all know if you have been in the regular churches of All Worship the King. Now I want to read for our radio audience both verses because they're going to have to get used to it. And if anyone in the radio audience wants a copy of it, we'll be glad to send it to them. Just write us. All right. In mind is our trust, in truth our delight. In love and in joy we have faith in the right. Within us there reigns now a mind for our own, a wisdom eternal where every truth is known. And the second verse. We stand and declare our perfect release and claim our full share of health and of peace. All glory and praise to the wisdom within. Our visions are raised and our triumphs begin. Good. Good words. All right, shall we stand and sing? I'd like to tell our radio audience that last Sunday, I mentioned the fact we had so few people here in Alice Tully Hall at Lincoln Center. I'd like to say, tell them today we have a tremendous congregation. So, all is well. All right, my topic, a happy heart, a healthy body. Now, this is obvious to us. It is not obvious to the world. We have, since 1975, been telling the world that health depended upon the mind, not upon a material situation. And we have said it in many ways through many organizations. And we're still saying it, and we're going to keep right on saying it, that health is caused, maintained, or negated by the action of our consciousness. Because consciousness is the ultimate reality. Consciousness is all there really is. And you and I are consciousness. We are mind people. We are emotion people. And only after that are we body people. Now, this idea, which started out in 1875, naturally was considered nonsense by most of the world. And all kinds of unkind things were said about us. And some of them were very amusing now that you look back. One of them was a headline in a newspaper after a lecture by one of our great teachers. Said, no matter, no mind. We do believe in matter. But they really went after us in those early days. If you were to read some of the papers back in 1875 to 1880, you'd see the furor that was aroused because our teachers went out and said the consciousness is the only reality and you are consciousness and you can be healed. And the newspapers and the whole world said, oh, ridiculous. Now, the only trouble was that we drew thousands of people to us and they were healed. They got results. They were healthier. They were happier. And they began to prosper. And again, the old order said, oh, this isn't right. These people are forgetting the virtue of poverty. Well, I've never known any virtue in poverty, have you? That's what they were teaching in 1875, that God loved the poor. Yeah. God loved the poor. And God was very suspicious of the rich. Great big question mark. So, all that has changed, you know. All that has changed. And I've often reminded you that even 20 years ago, in our own teaching, Ernest Holmes wrote an article that caused quite a furor. It was entitled, God Loves a Prosperous Person. And even some of our people said, oh, wait a minute. They'd had that teaching down through the ages that there was a virtue in poverty. And of course, you and I know there isn't any. That poverty is an illness and needs to be handled just as much as any other kind of illness. Now to get back to the subject. And so the frontiers began, 1875, and expanded across the country, eventually went to England, other nations. The idea that a person should be happy, healthy, prosperous, and free. Religion as such had never taught it before. That if you were sick in the old days, it was the will of God, and it made you more spiritual. Your grandmothers all had an aunt somewhere who was ailing all her life. I know my grandmother did. Ailing all her life. She was in bed most of the time. She ruled the entire family from that bed. Everybody waited on her. She was really having the time of her life. And so, I never knew her, but my grandmother used to tell me about her. And she said, oh, you know, it was terrible. But she was so spiritual. I didn't say anything. She was so spiritual. Some days she could get out of the bed and be helped to a chair. Some days she couldn't. But she was so spiritual. Now, this was the old order of thought. And, of course, today, when I find one of these matriarchs using the bed and the chair to run the family, I say, get up and wash the dinner dishes. Come on, get up and take the laundry out. They don't like that, you know. So, now, there is no virtue in illness. There is no virtue in poverty. There is no virtue in any of these things. We've got to keep clear on this. Sickness does not make you more spiritual. Your problems do not make you more spiritual. Every negative you have in your life doesn't make you any more spiritual. It diverts your attention. It keeps it flowing on the wrong side of the ledger. And we need to be rid of it. We need to have a happy heart and a healthy body. Now, most of you do. I most certainly do. So, however, I need to remind myself that my body is going to take on my consciousness. Just as much as my environment, just as much as my sources of income, just as much as anything else. That consciousness works in the body as the body and portrays itself. Now, all right. I said earlier, to be happy consistently, requires a programming of the mind. Most people just let happiness happen. And if it happens, they're glad. If it doesn't happen, well, they sit back and say, well, with the modern pressures of life, I guess it's just what I have to expect. Not at all. Now, the question will be raised, am I always happy? No. But I'm happy most of the time. No one can be happy 16 hours a day, 365 days a year. But all of us can be happier. All of us can do it, but it takes programming. Now, the first way to start is that happiness is perfectly normal. You see, many people can't even think of health as being normal. That's why they are unconsciously in search of a disease. Wonder what's going to happen to me this winter. You know? Because in February of last year, they say to me, and I say, oh, shut up. Health is absolutely normal. Happiness is absolutely normal. You see, we forget that we were created to laugh. We were created to laugh as well as cry. You have all the mechanism of it. You have all the mechanism of happiness, joy, and all the rest. You have it by right of your being. It's there. You can say, well, I can remember back when I was happy. Well, but let's remember now and see what we can do about being happy. I quite often say to people, what will make you happy? And they get this rather blank look on their face. Well, then some of them say, well, those that are single say they want a husband. Those that are troubled with money say they want money. I know plenty of people that have money and they're not happy. I know plenty of people that have husbands and wives and they're not overly happy. Now, I do know some that are happy, so that's good. And I know some people with money that are happy. But you see, always we bring it back to and relate it to a material situation. And yet when you are happy, you'll discover you cannot define the feeling. I'm happy right now and I can't tell you how it feels. It's a knowing rather than a feeling. It is a flow rather than a stagnation. Yeah, that's right, it's a freedom. It's a freedom. Now, to program happiness, you start with the fact that it's normal. Second, that you have the equipment. Third, that every chance you get to laugh, laugh. So often, we are all stifled up. We don't dare laugh. 20-some years ago, we had a convention in Philadelphia, and many of the noted were on the platform. I was sitting next to Elizabeth Town on one side, Brown Landone on the other, and a young clergyman who was very spiritual. He was outrageously pious, dull as dishwater. At any rate, I can't tell you over the radio what he said. But he made a slip of the tongue on one word. Never knew he did it. Mrs. Town looked at me, and I looked at Mr. Landone, and we were dying. We just couldn't hold it back. And finally, Mrs. Town, she always had a fan. She clicked her fan shut, and she said, for God's sake, let's laugh. And the whole house came down. And this kindly, he was a kindly man, standing at the pulpit, said, did I say something wrong? With that, the house came down again. I bet we all left there healthier than we had been in years. Because it came right out of here. It wasn't one of these polite top laughs. It came right out of the solar plexus. And we all felt wonderful as a result. Every chance you get to be happy, be happy. Look, there's plenty of time left over for your worry. There's plenty of time left over for you to get in the dumps. But grasp any chance you can to laugh. Because, as the good book would say, there is healing in its wings. In the book of Proverbs is a classical statement. If you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember this. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Isn't that wonderful? In the book of Proverbs, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Now, your ancestors probably thought it wasn't right to be too happy, you know. Not you. Not me. I am in a universe that has devised every possible means for me to live in order, in comfort, in ease, and to be happy. Same world you're in. Now there'll be new things, there's always the new. There'll be new things coming along all the time. Because the mind of God through the mind of man never stops working. Here we are. With everything that we could possibly use to be happy. Or experience to be happy. And very few people are basically happy. So it's not through a mechanical arrangement. It's not through a material arrangement. It has to come in consciousness. And nothing comes in consciousness without expectation. See, sometime this afternoon or this evening, you will unconsciously, without knowing it, starting to expect the kind of a week you're going to have. You'll be looking ahead, and I'll bet you anything that the bulk of your expectations will be not very happy. This is the week to pay bills. Oh. This is the week when I'm sure somebody else in the office will be sick and the work will be put upon my desk. You know, on and on. Expectations, they are a power of action. Because they are saying to the subconscious mind, this is what I really want. This is what I'm expecting. This is what I really want. And the subconscious mind says, okay, then you're going to get it. Well, you're going to get it. So you're going to have to labor over your checkbook. You're going to have to labor in the office. And you're coming home on crowded subways and streets and all the rest. And then you say to yourself next Saturday, see, everything I expected happened. And it did happen because you made it happen. Now you can make happiness and joy happen. But you've got to plan on it, you've got to program it, you've got to expect it. And you have to realize it's a divine gift. And it's already in you, awaiting your release. Every once in a while, when I am reading, I come to a part in the book and I say, why am I reading this? It's so negative. So I skip. And if it stays that way the rest of the book, I close the book. Now, it's not that I don't face negatives. I face them every day of my life. So do you. But I don't have to give undue attention to what is wrong. I can scan it, I can know it, I can do what I can to change it, but I don't need to have prolonged attention upon it. Because I know that my experience is the outpicturing of my mind. Now, your neighbors and friends don't know it, couldn't care less. But you know it. You're aware of it. All right, then it takes programming. Look, I can have some pieces of sterling silk. And I can have them put nicely away in a little box somewhere. So I can say I have some silk. And it's true. I don't use it. Once every 2 or 3 years, I get it out, it's black, and I have to polish it. But I put it back in the box, back in the drawer, and I've got some silk. No earthly good to anyone. No earthly good. Now, does that mean I need to take it out and use it? Yes, if I want to have the joy of using it. The same thing with us. We have joy, but we have it packed away. We used to use it once a week when Jackie Gleason was on. We'd pull a box out, open it up, and use the joy. And following that, we put it back in the box, back in the drawer, until he or someone else came along. Last year, Flip Wilson got that box out a lot. You know, just let it there. Well, you have to program it, ladies and gentlemen. You have to do this with anything. I know people who are in ill health, and they need to program health. They need to program health. Very few of us, let's admit it, very few of us exercise enough or walk enough. Very few. I'm among that number. I have no virtue when it comes to walking and exercising. That very famous man whose name is now passed, anyway, he was president of Chicago University, and he made the classic remark that every time he got the urge to exercise, he immediately laid down until it went. Forgotten the man's name, a very prominent man. So, anything you want, the good book says, you can have, but you have to earn it. Whatsoever things ye desire, it says, believe that ye have them, and ye shall receive them. But it isn't just a matter of believing, it's programming the belief through action. We've had in the last 100 years untold thousands of people that sat around saying, I now attract wonderful money into my life. They never did anything. They never got any money. They built a superficial delusion. After a while, they said, well, the teaching doesn't work. Because nothing works unless you work it. Happiness is not something you suddenly get. You're going to say, well, I'd like to go and be in such and such a home for a week because everybody there is so happy. Fine. Go. It's good therapeutic action. But what are you going to do when you come home again? It's like people who work all year long to have 2 weeks vacation. And what happens? They have to come back. They come back from vacation and they immediately are so fatigued they can barely get to the office the next day. And so they think, well, let's see. Well, it'll have to be the last week in August and the first week in September. Next year. And as you know, today's only the 3rd of December. So that means all of December and all of January and all of February and all of March April, May, June, July even. You know. And what they're saying is subconscious mind, I don't want to really be happy again until the last week in August. Now, program your happiness. It isn't a matter of taking a vacation. As pleasant as that isn't the point. The point is to program it. Expect it. And remember that happiness comes with people. Now, you're going to say, well, I can be happy alone. Yes, you can. But it's rare. It's rare. Happiness comes with people. We are people's people. We are people's people. One of the greatest single problems that comes with the aging process is that the circle of friends gets smaller and smaller and smaller. If that comes across my desk once a week, it comes across at least twice a week. I can understand it. I can understand it. We have to be people's people. What is it? Phrase, no man is an island. Now, you're going to say, well, Dr. Barker, I haven't been happy in a long, long time. All right, well, let's start. You'd be, as you know, I get letters and I get people talking to me saying, Dr. Barker, I like to come to your lectures because you're so humorous. That's not what I'm here for. The Board of Trustees of this church does not hire me as a comedian. It hires me to disseminate the teachings of the science of mind. Now, I have a light touch occasionally. It probably is a good help. Lots of people, again, may not have another laugh all week. But, ladies and gentlemen, let's go back. That wonderful word, programming. No one has ever prospered that didn't unconsciously or consciously program their minds. No one has ever had good relationships that they didn't unconsciously or consciously program their minds. Same thing with any other area of life. I've had couples say to me, we have an excellent marriage, but it took an awful lot of doing on both our parts. Of course it does. A successful personal relationship always takes programming by both parties or the family unit or whatever it may be. But it can be done and it is being done and you can do it. I wonder if later in the afternoon you can look at yourself and say, I am happy. I'm joyous. I'm free. And then your mind will start saying, oh, stop kidding yourself. With what you've got ahead of you, that's just stuff for the books. That's all. It isn't. You're dealing with the germ of the spirit every time you say it. You're dealing with the germ of the spirit, and the germ of the spirit is as catching as the germ that causes a cold. You set it up. I am that joy. And your mind says, wait a minute, this is different. This is new. And keep on saying it. I am that joy. It's interesting that one of Jesus' statements was the statement, I came that your joy might be full. Now, as you know, this was disregarded by the early church. Everybody got so serious. But he did say it. I came that your joy might be full. Interesting. And that is why some great artists someday is going to paint a picture of Jesus laughing. Yeah. Or any of the other great teachers. I'd like to see a picture of Moses looking happy. You know? Instead of this great big strong man that supposedly carried two tablets down from a mountaintop, written in Hebrew, which hadn't yet even been discovered. But it looks good in pictures. You know, of course, that the Hebrew language as a written language was not developed until King David's time, 1000 BC. So, if there were tablets and if there was writing, it would have to be Egyptian. But don't tell your friends that. They want that big man coming down off that mountain with two great big stones, and they want Hebrew letters on those stones, so let them have it. But wouldn't it be nice to see a healthy, happy Moses coming down the mountain? Because I'm sure he was happy. All we think of him is that he was stern. And those 10 writings have been bothering us ever since. You know that. Well, think about it when you get home. You can laugh then. Now, be happy, be loving, be free. I came that your joy shall be full. And then those great psalms of rejoice, 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 all the way through the last third of the Psalms. Hallelujah. Rejoice and be glad. All the way through. You find these in the writings of the East as well. You find in every basic religious text that the initial teachers wanted their people to be happy. And the later teachers said, no, no. You see. And so, there is no joy that isn't possible. But for most people, it's highly probable that they won't have it. When you have 51% of your waking time engaged in negatives, you are not going to be happy. If 51% of your waking hours are spent with negatives, whether mentally or emotionally, then I was going to say you're headed for trouble. You're not headed for trouble, you're already in it. So, the old question, do I worry? As little as possible, and when I catch myself doing it, I stop. Every once in a while, I say, uh-oh. Look what you're doing. I talk to myself all the time. And I change it. Because I believe that the creative spirit, the divine mind, and the eternal love created you and myself out of itself to be happy. All right, so ended the lesson. Let's come back, because, immediately after we go off the air, which doesn't mean when I go off the stage. Sometimes I go off early and Mrs. Sims plays for another 4 or 5 minutes until the radio station gives us the cue that we're off the air. But we're going to take in some 50 new members into the church, and these are members whose memberships we have processed. And if you just came this morning with a membership card, we'll process it and bring you in the next time. Because we have office routines we have to do on them. So those who are joining the church this morning, just come down and sit in the first two or three rows. And when we're off the air, I'll be back out here. And we have a very informal but touching little tradition. And it's very short. So I won't be outside to shake your hands this morning. So Just as you go by my spot out there, just look at it and go kind of like this. All right. We have to program our consciousness in anything. I say to people, what do you want? When they tell me, I say, do you want it enough to take steps toward it? Do you want it enough to take steps towards getting it? Because unless you want it that much, you're dealing with a dream. You're dealing with a misty hope. I have people say to me, why? It says in the good book that the Lord should supply all my needs. Why haven't I got more money? And I say, is your rent paid? Yes. You've got enough clothes to get through till Christmas? Yes. Well, then the Lord's taking care of all your needs. You know, I don't want my needs taken care of. I want some of my luxuries handled. By the way, there are other places in that same good book that tell me I can have that, you know. See, the infinite has never been stingy, but we've always been self-stingy, thinking it was a virtue. But the infinite always does everything on a lavish scale. I was watching the sunset last night, driving in a car. Magnificent. There was all the beauty that could possibly be. Right there. Free. Free. The infinite does everything on a grand scale. And we putter around. You know. So no wonder it says to lift up your eyes unto the hills. No wonder it suggests that you walk tall. No wonder it says in the book of Psalms that even the branches of the trees shall clap their hands. That's beautiful. And in a mild windstorm, it would almost seem as though they were doing it. Now they're free, you see. They've released their leaves. And they're free. And inside, they're planning on the new ones that will come out next March and April. But they're free. All right, you be that free. All right, shall we stand for our closing idea? There is one God, one mind, one spirit, one intelligence, one right action. And in this we are forever immersed, and of this we are forever a part. Right now, it is in us, through us, around us, in action, and it is wonder. So this is the way the day shall be. This is the way the week shall be, because this is the way life is, and we rejoice in it. So it is.
Sunday morning lecture of religious science has been broadcast from Alice Tully Hall at Lincoln Center in New York. Please address all letters and contributions to Dr. Raymond Charles Barker at 14 East 48th Street, New York 10017. A list of books and pamphlets is available on request. You're cordially invited to attend these lectures in person or listen again next Sunday morning at 11:05 for another broadcast of the Sunday morning lecture of religious science.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.